everyone, and welcome back to the Are You the One Wrap Up podcast. My name is Brian Cohen. I'm here with my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Glad to be getting into the, almost getting into the season after a long wait.
Yeah, good. You know, I'm just sitting here, I'm chilling. You know, I'm just sitting here chilling. I'm here, I'm chilling. That's all I'm doing. I'm just chilling, I'm chilling. That's all I'm doing.
I was going to say it, but I was worried you wouldn't get what I meant. Although, how could you not? Because Chris was chilling.
He was here. He's been here. He's always been here. And he's chilling.
That's oh, enough. My God. Can't wait to get into this.
So this was a nice little little precursor for the show. We got a nice little refresher about everyone from last season. Now, throughout this episode, they did kind of do a few of the little sneak peeks for season two. Now, I've made a firm stance. I'm not watching any previews of any MTV show ever. So anytime they did one of those previews, or all those, I muted it, I turned my head, and I didn't watch. Did you watch any of the sneak peeks for season
two? Okay, you're better than I am, because at the end they had an extended one. I didn't look at the screen. I listened to what they were saying, though. So I didn't know who anyone was. So if, people were kissing or whatever, I didn't see two people getting together. I just heard the words.
Okay. Yeah, I...
So that's a little compromise. I didn't look at any of the couples or anything.
Yeah, I completely muted it and left the room for 2 minutes because they just spoil so much stuff with these types of trailers about who's going to be with who. And I just want to be able to watch the show, in peace and be able to, play along with it rather than be like, oh, well, this hasn't happened yet, so that means this can't happen and stuff like that, so... I think I'm making that a new rule for myself for MTV going forward. I hope everyone should do the same. Boycott MTV previews.
No, I totally agree. It's super spoilery. I just wanted to get if any format stuff was given out, which was, I won't spoil you on it.
But it's not format stuff. That's fine.
No, I mean, it's just more clarity on the 11th girl situation.
Did they say she's definitely part of a pair of matches?
So, buzzer, if you really don't want to know anything about this, I'm going to say, so just, click off for 2 seconds. So, basically, they're, from what I could tell from not looking at it, they introduce her after everyone gets there. They're, okay. A twist this season, and then everyone's who's that bitch? What? And then they're introducing the 11th girl, meet the 11th girl or something. Okay. So it's clear. I'm still not sure if she's an 11th girl, but anyone could have a double match, but it's they introduce her after the fact.
Yeah. I'm probably leaning towards that. She does. She's definitely one with the double match, but
yeah,
I guess we'll have to find out.
One thing I was thinking of, and I wrote in the middle of this recap, the reunion that we'll eventually get to, I just had a thought about season two. It's going to be so sad and awkward during the matchup ceremony when one girl isn't matched.
Yeah. And it's even going to be more interesting when they do it when the girls pick. So I wonder how they're going to decide who doesn't pick.
I don't know. I always kind of wondered how they did the orders even on season one. But that will definitely, that has less of a consequence on season one than it will this season.
Yeah, that's going to be, definitely the guys are definitely going to be picking the first week that I can almost guarantee, just create the drama of which girl's left out first. I'm going to make a little prediction.
All right, it's
that.
A prediction.
It's a prediction. You heard it here first, people. 50-50 shot, but I'm taking a firm stance.
What was your overall impression of this recap reunion? Basically what it was, just to set up in case anyone missed it, which is fine.
Kind of weird that you'd be listening to this, but yeah.
Some people do. I mean, we're going to recap all the good parts, but, or if you're my mom, but no. So it was basically a trip somewhere. I don't know. I didn't get the location. Maybe it wasn't paying close.
I think it was LA because they kept showing
Hollywood. Oh my God. Duh. Sorry. That was so stupid. But then they had delays. So I was confused. But yes, obviously my next comment was going to be that it's Laguna Beach with the transition and stuff like that. So that was stupid. Anyway.
Rough to a flying start.
It's been a long day. So whatever. They basically went out to LA, I guess, for a few days. And it went from pool party to baby shower to bar to buy.
that was my question. How long do you think that all, it kind of seemed like it was just one day. Do you think it was over a few days and they just kind of made it seem like it was a few days?
I mean, it definitely seemed like one day, but they did check into a hotel. I kind of thought it was a weekend, a Saturday, and then they all left Sunday. Nothing happened on Sunday that was filmed, but it was all.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't give a good sense of a timeline, which, I mean, MTV not really does that stuff, but...
I mean, by exactly minute 26, I was physically exhausted from watching this.
Yeah, because we were talking about this before we went live, so people don't know this. But it was kind of like a weird MTV-type show. Because normally, like, with a challenge or with Are You the One or even Real World, there's usually, like, a set parameters. All right, this is going to happen first, and then you're going to see this, and it's going to be set for the challenge and, like, elimination or something. But here it was just basically, here's 20 people in LA for a day or two and just go about your business and then just see what happens. Like, there was no, like, set format other than, like, be at a pool or be at a baby shower or at a bar. There was no really chronological order that was kind of tough. It was just a cluster mess all over the place.
Do you have any idea about how, like, when this was filmed? Like, when in the timeline, like, they went out and did this? Because I was wondering, was it, like, pre-challenge taping, post-challenge taping?
It was definitely pre-challenge taping, because challenge started filming beginning of August, and they just got back a couple weeks ago. So it was definitely pre-challenge. Now, I don't know if they knew they were going to be on the challenge at this point. That I'm not sure about. But it was definitely pre-filming. And my guess is it was probably filmed around maybe June, I'm going to guess. That'll be my prediction. I'm sure we could probably trace it back to when her due date is and then just kind of like...
That's
too much math.
too much effort. Like, I watched the show. Like, I watched.
Yeah, but I'm gonna go with, like, late May, early June. That's gonna be my guess of when this
because
was.
I think this is how, like, every show should have a reunion like this after the reunion. Like, it was just real. Like, it wasn't like the immediate bitterness of, like, the show's just aired, then they meet up for the reunion, everyone hates each other, and there's these, like, guided questions and live audience. Like, this was just, like, pure, why haven't you called me back? Why have you unfollowed me on Instagram? What's up with that?
I mean, always my biggest problems with reunions is that the hosts are usually either A, never watched the show to begin with, or B, are just being fed, like, boring questions from, like, the producers. So here, it's basically, this was a reunion, but they're asking the questions, and that's usually the way to get the best stuff. So that's why, this is how, I mean, theoretically, they shouldn't even have reunions the way they do them anymore. This should be a reunion. It doesn't have to be a baby shower. Just be like, all right, here, go meet up again at a bar, and here's your reunion. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I want reunions where it's always an option to throw a drunk girl up on the bar and make out with her in the middle of it. Like, that's what MTV reunions should be about. So,
I mean, that's what MTV is basically about, so.
Yeah, exactly. The reunion is lacking.
Absolutely. And we'll get into it, but I just, also going off that, it just also, when you add more passage of time, it allows social media to become much more of a factor with these people, because these people basically are social media celebrities, just happen to be filmed for a couple months. So, basically, at the core of it, every one of the fights that we saw was about social media. And those are my favorite type of fights, because they're so nonsensical that it just makes reality TV even better.
Well, when Chris T is getting 50 retweets on his tweets, like, that's some serious stuff. People are seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably just sitting there chilling, be like, oh, I got 50.
All right, so what I liked is that they did the kind of... It was interesting. I mean, they showed, like, a little recap from last season, but it totally wasn't what I would say were – it wasn't the important parts. It was just kind of the parts that would then be touched on later in the reunion.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a recap of the season. It was, like, a prelude to what's going to – it's like when a show does, like, a previously on for an episode and they show a scene from, like, two seasons ago, that means it's going to have to rear its head again. That's basically what this was. But, like, all right, here's the storylines. You got Chandler and Christy. You got Scally and JC and – a couple other people. These are the main storylines we're going to be focusing on.
Like, they showed the, like, 1 second where Brittany and Ryan were considering a mild flirtation. And, like, as that was, like, a real thing that happened last season.
Yeah, I had that as a note, too. But, I mean, we'll get to, there's so much, all right, we're already, like, 9 minutes in and we haven't even started talking about this. So let's just kind of jump right in. So it starts off with not Adam, oh my god, I'm off to a rocking start. So yeah, Ethan and Amber going to the ultrasound to see about their baby. Now, do you think they actually did not find out about the sex of the baby right then?
It's so unclear, because I was thinking, like, how many ultrasounds do I have to see live on TV? Like, I know you don't watch this, but The Bachelorette featured a live ultrasound at the reunion where they, like, were finding out the sex of the baby of a previous couple who got married. Mm-hmm. And they brought out an ultrasound technician in front of the live audience. Like, this at least appeared to be at a hospital or doctor's office. Like, this was, like, Chris Harrison was, like, narrating her ultrasound. But they, if you follow her on Instagram or, like, look on Twitter, like, people were posting about this. Like, she knew the sex of the baby prior to that live ultrasound. Like, she was like perfect for my little boy, like the little onesie. This, so I was suspicious. Ethan genuinely looked so shocked. Spoiler alert, they're having a girl. And the balloons come out of this box to reveal the sex of the baby. And Ethan's face was like the most pure shock I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was my clue too, because Amber, and then Amber started to break down and cry. I'm like, these are not that good of actors that they can just like cry on the spot like that. So I'm going to guess that, yeah, I don't think they knew until then, which is kind of, I'm surprised that they almost allowed MTV to do that. But then I don't think they probably even had a choice in the matter, because that was my next question. Who do you think broached this to them about the baby shower? I assume MTV at some point, once they found out they were pregnant, told them that they're doing this probably, right?
Well, I was wondering that too, when they're getting the ultrasound done. I was like, okay, so when you get married on TV, the network pays for your wedding. When you show your baby ultrasound, what is MTV paying for? Like, I know that whole trip obviously was paid for, but I feel like they must be getting something. Like, I mean, they got all of those prop gifts that none of those contestants brought.
No chefs.
But no, I don't know. I was like, yeah, if you have a baby from an MTV show, does MTV own the rights to that baby?
I mean, from what I've heard, the contracts for these people have to sign are so long and so detailed that it probably somewhere says in there, if you have a kid, we have the right to follow its like transition until you give birth and make a TV show about it.
Well, I mean, it also goes back to like all of them. So they're all like unpacking like or checking into their hotel with whatever. And they're talking about, like, their motivations for coming. Like, Simone's like, free food and free drinks. Like, let's do it. And John's like, I've never been to a baby shower. And someone else is like, I'm going to support Ethan and Amber. Mm-hmm. It's like, all of you just want another 5 minutes on TV.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm sure, I mean, Ethan and Amber have never seemed that like that couple. But, I mean, I don't think that there were any objections to a free weekend in L.A., all expenses paid.
Yeah, I mean, even Simone said like she didn't speak to these people in 5 months, but then she claims that they called her directly to make sure she's available for this. Like, yeah, no, MTV called and said we're doing this weekend. You're free, so make sure you're available.
Yeah, no, it's MTV. I guess owns the rights to their firstborn child, so that's fair.
And it's funny you say you definitely think that MTV paid for all this, because I am not as certain that they paid for. Because I could see MTV like making them pay for some of this stuff to get out here. So I like your optimism that you think that they did pay for all of it.
Well, okay, so I know on the challenge, like when they go out, they pay for their own drinks and stuff, but they get food provided to them in the house and alcohol provided to them in the house.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that baby shower, cake, and all of that was completely paid for. Like, those people were not putting themselves up in that nice a hotel.
Yeah, that's true.
I think maybe at the bar, maybe they were buying their own drinks out at the bar. But liquor was flowing. Like, I don't think these people are dropping, like, you know, their entire 50 grand that they won a year ago on these, like, high-class drinks that they were stirring with the little swizzle stick.
Here's a fun question I would love to know the answer to. Who do you think has the most money remaining of that money that they got? Who do you think has been the most studious? Because, I mean, there's a few like that that definitely blew through it within, like, a week. But who do you think has even, like, $10,000?
I think Ashley's current balance in her checking account is $48,500. I think she's earned money on the post-tax.
I think so, too. Yeah, I was thinking that. I can think that, like, Amber and Ethan have been stingy with it, but, like, people like Scally definitely has no money remaining from that. John Jacobs definitely blew through it, like, in a weekend when he got back. So
Scally couldn't even afford a subway ticket to take him from Brooklyn to Manhattan to meet JC when she was in town.
Yeah, and she even spoke with him on the phone, which is, like, the sacred sacred rule that you can't break back.
Like, we'll get into that. A lot of them looked good, so, like, So they arrive, and Simone looks good. She's lost a few LBs.
Yeah, she looks good. She looks
Chandler
good.
Chandler doesn't look so good. She looks stressed out.
Well, she was dealing – I mean, she has to be the stressful one because Chrissy's the chilling one. So he's bounced. But my takeaway from the people arriving was JC. Did you happen to notice her hat, like what it said on it?
No, what did it say?
It literally was plugging her Twitter handle. Her hat said, I'll be JC. And that's like her Twitter and Instagram handle.
Perfect.
You gotta tip your, like, literally tip your cap there. That was perfect. We're just missing the little at sign in front of it, but it's that. Unless it seems like she's trying to be like a model, like promoter, and that's like her brand. But I mean, all of her interviews, her hat was just I'll be JC. So
when are we seeing the Guise hat?
I don't know. I'm waiting for my free T-shirt. I'm giving this company so much publicity.
Well, they're closed on Sunday, so there's like got to be a lag time.
Sorry, what was that?
I wanted to know what you thought of Ethan's logic on raising boys versus raising girls. So Ethan, they don't know the sex of the baby, and Ethan says, boys are easier to raise because you don't have to worry about boys growing up. You have to worry about girls growing up.
I think every guy wants to have a son just because they want to be able to play sports with them and stuff like that, and they're afraid that if they have a daughter, they're going to be treated the way that maybe they treated girls growing up. So I think every guy wants to have a boy.
But do you not have to worry about boys growing up?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think that wouldn't have been my logic of wanting a guy. But, I mean, we both get to the same decision-making process.
I want so. Ethan to write a baby book.
I want to read his parents. We'll have Ryan co-write it with him.
Oh, my God.
all right. So they all get there, and then you got the guys' room talking and the girls' room talking, and I think it started with the guys when that was the infamous, hey, Christy, how you doing? I'm chilling. You know, I've been here. I'm in LA. I'm chilling. I'm here. I'm chilling. But what else did you get from the guys' initial meeting?
I mean, I didn't pay too much attention to it. I thought it was, like, really funny that it appears that, like, the guys have one room and the girls have one room.
Yeah.
What I thought was interesting about this is I just kept looking to see who wasn't there. Like, I think Jess, Ashley, and Dylan didn't show up on screen until the baby shower. Like, they weren't – I didn't see them in the hotel rooms at all.
Yeah, and it's funny because there were some people that I saw on screen and I literally didn't even recognize who they were. In fact, I didn't even know his name until you just said, like, I knew, like, who was the guy who got the first match? I couldn't remember his name, and it was Dylan. There's so many people from that season that, like, they came on my screen, like, oh, my God, I forgot about him or her.
See, that's one thing, is that I think Are You the One does a really good job of even the boring people, like, get screen time because everyone's got to find their perfect match. So it can't just be like, oh, someone on The Bachelor, they eventually go home. Survivor, they drag until they get voted out. Like, everybody has to be in it the whole time together and find a match, even if it ends up being kind of by default. But, like, I thought Ashley and Dre had a really good storyline, you know, when they were on camera. Joey was maybe the exception to this. Joey was generally around.
Yeah, who was his perfect match? I don't even remember.
Brittany.
No, really? It was Brittany?
Yeah, remember, they went on a date, like, they almost, like, found each other at the very end. And, like,
Oh, they weren't they on a date, but she ditched him just to be with Adam more?
And she kept talking about Adam the whole time.
Yeah, okay.
They went on, I think, an overnight date.
That was, like, the cliff diving, right?
Yeah.
All right. It's all coming back to me.
And then Khaleesi and Dylan, I actually wanted them to, like, be together, and Khaleesi, I think, was just way more into him. And then at the reunion, they said they broke up because of how she behaved at the white party, which is, like, all right, like, judgy-wudgy wasn't there.
Yeah, I don't know how you can judge someone for how they behave on a reality show when you're on the same reality show.
She just got down, so I don't know. I was upset. They didn't really talk, and they didn't really talk about it. They're both in relationships, apparently. That's what we learned from this reunion, and then we never see them again.
Yeah, and definitely the least shocking not together was Ryan and Kayla. That was not that
bad.
Oh, Kayla. Oh.
Let's catch up on Ryan and Kayla. I guess we should just, like, go couple to couple, because they kind of just, like, spewed information around at us. But Ryan and Kayla, did you look at her boyfriend?
Actually, I did not.
So they said, the research doesn't stop at the cast. Kayla, they basically said that Kayla's boyfriend looks like a more masculine Ryan, which, like, mm-hmm. It's hard to do. He does kind of look like Ryan. Like, they look different. They're both kind of tan. Like, he's got the, like, thinner face with the ears. It is. She's got a type. And Wes definitely wasn't it.
No. It's funny, because Wes was actually probably my favorite guy from last season, so I'm glad that her and him weren't matched, because that might have said something about me, so.
Oh, I loved Wes.
Yeah, me too. But Ryan, now, I mean, this would be jumping ahead a little bit, but though his falling out with Adam, and then the whole speculation of whether it was because he hit on him was it was like kind of just like slid in there, but to me that was like one of the more shocking moments of like that they actually brought it up and that it was shown, and it like, and Ryan didn't really like deny it fully. Like, it was kind of weird.
Well, we can, yeah, so we'll go Ryan and Kayla aren't speaking. She blocked him on all social media.
Again, social boyfriend. Media.
Okay, next. Who's, like, also tracking their followers? Like, when I lose a follower, I don't look to see who it was, but...
Yeah,
okay.
And I realized you could track on followers on, like, Instagram. I didn't think that was a thing.
I mean,
it probably is. I mean, these people need it for their lives, so I guess they have all the background security stuff.
Then we find out that Ryan and Adam moved to Virginia together. Like, ambiguous purpose. Like, we don't know why. And then, as... In Ryan's own words, they broke up. And basically, Adam just said he's the most annoying person ever. And Ryan was like, can you just appreciate that we had something cool?
And he wrote more stuff in his journal, probably, on the way out.
Ryan was so much... I was always annoyed by Ryan, but Ryan was at his most annoying. Anytime something was happening, he was always there. Like, Brittany and Adam are talking, he's there. Yeah, Shanley's talking, he's there. He's just always there.
He's just the around. Like, maybe he's not, like, friends with any of the people, so he just kind of has to, like, kind of slide his way back in to talk with them. I don't know. He was definitely the one who probably got, like, the worst edit, I guess it would be, from this show.
I want to know, because his match was Jess, who was on screen for about 0.5 seconds.
Yeah, I don't think I could pick Jess out of a lineup. I don't know her at all.
Jess is the one when they had to take a picture of their body to be identified. She took a chest shot of her boobs and got all the guys' attention. Do you remember that?
I remember that. I don't remember being her.
So that's Jess. You can pick her out of a lineup.
All right, there we go.
No, but I was like, I know, I mean, at the reunion, they talked about them hanging out, like, you know, as friends, but whatever. I wanted to know what was up with every couple, and they just, I guess if literally radio silence, there's nothing to talk about, then they're not going to show it, but.
Yeah, I remember even one time they were, I think it was to Ashley, and they said, like, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, what are we talking about? My boyfriend and his girlfriend, and Kayla's like, oh, that's boring, and then, like, walked away.
Yeah.
It's like, she's a cameraman.
Dylan. You don't even see, because Dylan was not shown either. I'm an advocate for these people.
Yeah. Some of these people had no impact on my life.
So let's get into Scally and JC, mostly because I'm dreading having to talk any more about Christy.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, we'll have to get into Christy with his little powwow with Chandler later on, but yeah, we can, we'll move on to Scally, who I'm actually a big fan of. Mainly because I just think he's, as just an entertainer, he's hysterical, but as a person, he's about as low as they get, I think.
Well, when he reveals, like, even watching the show, like, he just reveals, like, his exact thought process when he's scamming these girls, and then you watch him do it, and then watch him explain it, it's scary. Because, like, you think everyone has these moves and whatever, but it can't be that calculated. It's that calculated with Scally.
Yeah, like, he's... like a borderline, I know this is like a really mean term, but he's like a borderline sociopath with this stuff, that it just like in a not like murderous way, but like he just is able just to manipulate me yet, but he's able to like manipulate like everyone around him to do exactly what he wants. And like, I'm telling you, if he wanted to, he probably could have slept with Paige that night, like my best would be.
I mean, literally, like he said something, maybe you need to translate this for me. Like, he's one time, like, they're looking at people in the pool, girls in the pool, and he's talking to Christy, and he says, if you got a D star 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 A L star 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 in someone, who would you D star 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 A L star star star?
Yeah, I didn't know what that meant either. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I don't know what that meant.
How does he get away with saying whatever it is disgusting?
it's definitely not a compliment. I'll go with that.
And Brittany's there, like, involved in the conversation. Like, somehow he just says it and, like, smiles. And, I mean, JC, like, so basically, JC, to catch people at whatever, JC had, like, this date to meet Scally in the city. And, like, they spoke on the phone, like, that day. And then she was there, and he never called her, and they never spoke again.
Wait, that's what she implied, that... she actually arrived in New York, and I thought it was just when they were talking on the phone, and then he just never got back to her and, like, confirmed the plans.
I thought she said we had a day to meet in New York.
Yeah, I thought that's what she said, but I don't know if she actually traveled to New York.
She was fly there. I thought it was that day. Like, we spoke that day. You know what? I'll go back to the tape.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to rewatch it. That'll be a lot. Or just let us know, like, in the comments or whatever. But I think my interpretation of it was they were just talking. They agreed. It's like, all right, like, in a week or whatever, I'm going to come out and meet you. And then just from there, he never got back there.
That's more plausible. I mean, tweet hashtag Team Brian if you agree with Brian. no, that makes more sense, but it's still like, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it was a dick move.
It was. I mean, maybe, I'm sure, I'm going back to it, I'm sure that's what the D stood for, but I still can't figure out what the L stood for.
I have an idea, but I'm not willing to say that on the air.
And I'm assuming, this is a PG podcast with occasional moments to a PG-13.
It's a family show, about a non-family show.
Exactly.
Okay, so JC and Scally never speak again. They're avoiding each other the whole time. And then, makes sense of this to me, Chris reveals, well, his name is Chris, but Scally reveals basically through John, we'll get into that roast, mm-hmm. that JC performed sexual acts on him on an airplane.
Mm-hmm. Using an object you might use to write with a pen with.
You can say hand.
I don't want to give further even details. This is PG. PG.
If they could show it on MTV, we can delicately say it.
Yeah, they even bleep that on MTV. They didn't even
I love when they bleep that.
Yeah.
They always bleep that. But it gets said a lot on MTV. But so she's pissed livid. He's like ignored her. He stood her up in some capacity. He's now divulged their like intimate history. And she, like, walks up to him at the bar and hair flip, I'm moving to New York.
But not for you. Not for you, of course. Just, I'm moving to the city that you live in, but not for you. Just keep that in mind. It's not for you. Every time she says it, it's more believable.
I'm moving to New York because that's what you want, but don't think it's for you.
Yeah.
She literally's like, that's what you want, isn't it? What?
I couldn't. That's, like, stunning that she was actually moving to New York for Scally.
And then Scally immediately, I was like, I look forward to seeing how Scally's getting out of this, like, treating her like crap. But she just let him right off the hook, and then he's like, I want to change. You're someone I think I could really be with. Yeah, now that you're 2 feet away from me.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if they're still together, but I'm willing to place a firm bet that they are not together right now.
I mean, we need another baby.
We need another baby shower.
All right. Should we get into Chris and Shanley?
Let's save that a little bit. Let's get into the roast, because that was probably my favorite part of the episode. Because I was, when we talked about who's going to be on the challenge, we mentioned John Jacobs, and I wasn't exactly the biggest fan of his. I didn't think he'd be that great on the challenge. But with his roast, I am now like the biggest John Jacobs fan ever, because that was brilliant. And I really hope he wrote the entire thing and didn't get any like outside help from producers or whatever, because that was brilliant. It was brilliant.
I was wondering if producers like told him to roast people, like do something, but I think he wrote it. I mean, it was too bitter. His stuff got too bitter to it not be from him. But I wrote down every joke because I thought it was hysterical. And I know that we only saw an edited version, and I really hope they release like the full version.
Oh my god! They release so much stuff on MTV.com for videos. Just release the entire unedited version of his roast, please. Like, they didn't show everyone getting roasted. I don't know. They wasted so much time on other stuff.
What was your favorite burn?
Honestly, I think it was like the backhanded burn back to Kayla when he referred to Paige as Kayla's only friend. I think that might have been my favorite.
You went for the subtle one.
Yeah. What was yours?
Ashley got like such a harsh burn when like Ashley's done nothing to anyone. He says about her that she's like her home state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Like, really gives a shit.
And that was great just because it was the first one, and it was just like, whoa, okay, this is what this is.
I thought the Ryan one could have been way funnier. Like, there are certain jokes where I thought he should have stopped then. So, like, he went on about how he's feminine, and it was funny. But then he says he's a magician because he pretended to be straight for so long.
Yeah, there was definitely a better there was a better punchline in there, and he didn't really hit it.
But I liked JC's the best before it became harsh when he says, I look back on the show and try to figure out why I liked you so much. It was 80% your ass and 20% you weren't Simone.
And I actually like really became a bigger fan of JC when she wasn't even upset at JJ for bringing it up more, even though turns out she wasn't really mad at Scally either, obviously, but that she wasn't mad at him for bringing it up, that she took it as just it's a roast, they're just having fun, like not to take it as a big deal. The people, you like as Ryan said, you have to be able to laugh at yourself, so I'm glad that I think pretty much everyone else took it pretty much in stride. I don't think there was any really hard feelings with what he did.
Yeah, no, I mean, JC, I always felt like on the show was like really had clarity, at least in her confessionals, like at least in her interviews, about what was really going on, what was going on with her. She was like super aware of the reality of the situation, which is more than can be said for a lot of people on these shows. And so, yeah, that was just another example when she's like, the real problem is Scally. Like, a lot of girls would just go off on John Jacobs because he's an easy target. I don't know if you were watching any commercials, but right before, in the middle, when John Jacobs revealed that JC and Scally had that thing on the plane, and then it came back in the next, and they were talking about it again after the next commercial. The last commercial before that was an advertisement for Carl's Jr. advertising their Mile High, like, cheeseburger. And it was just like, join the Mile High Club, Carl's
I did
Jr.
not catch that. That's pretty clever. There you go. If
It was perfect. It
I
was
had a
perfect.
bell, I would ring it right now.
Yeah, ding.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think, what else is there besides the Shanley Chris T talk? This is.
Brittany and Adam, have we
Yeah, I mean,
delved in?
all right. So Brittany, I mean, those two, like I mentioned earlier, they're two of my favorites, and Brittany's just like the biggest hot mess ever, and she gets better every time I see her on screen. So I'm a big fan of Brittany and Adam. I like Adam, but he's like sometimes a little too much, but in like small doses, he's pretty entertaining.
I mean, it's just ridiculous because this is why I hate Adam. And like, we had this conversation during the mail, like preview with our differences on Adam. But like, he literally, Brittany is doing her best to say no. And yeah, she's saying no and then laughing, but she's literally saying no. She's not all over him. He is like persistent and egging it on and won't leave her. Just walk away and leave her alone. Like, he. And then he says to the camera, like, oh, my beer goggles. Like, she's looking better with the shots. Like, Brittany is a beautiful girl.
Oh, no,
She's
she definitely
fit. Like,
is.
so I don't want to hear this, like, beer goggles bullshit. He did that all season one, too, where it's like, oh, I guess I'll settle for Brittany because, like, I want to get some. It's like, she's a beautiful girl, and you're lucky that she talks to you. She is
Yeah.
crazy, but she
Oh,
is
I mean, she's
priceless.
absolutely out of her mind crazy, but that makes her great. She's Brittany. So, but yeah, I mean, she could have also walked away also. I mean, she was, I think she was, I think she liked being back in like the spotlight and having the attention back on her from him. So,
She's
I don't
doing
know.
her best.
She's doing her best, yeah. That's gonna, oh man. Them living together in Challenge House is gonna be utterly fantastic. I hope they last a while.
I think they will. I think they're both super athletic. I mean, she's been doing those triangle push-ups.
Yeah. Also, one thing, that was actually pretty impressive. Good job by her. But did we mention Simone spilling the drink on Dre and that whole fiasco? Did we get into that?
Oh, no, go for it.
All right. So I can't, like, they're in like a confined space. How do they not have video of Dre spilling the drink on Simone? How was there like a moment that was not captured that they can't like show the beginning of this? That
Yeah, I
baffled
didn't
me.
even see a stain on her white shirt. Like, it didn't even look wet.
Yeah, she probably spilled like a drop on her, and she just treated it as if she got poured like a bucket down her back. But I mean, that's what makes Simone great, and that's why Simone is fantastic because then she freaks out, throws a drink on him, and then gets into it with Chris T, which is perfect.
I just think that Simone knows what she's doing on that show, that she knows she's there to pop off at any moment, and that's what she does. I mean, the second she arrives to this couple's baby shower, she attacks them for
Yeah.
unfollowing her on Instagram. I think she's very good at, I mean, maybe not so great because it doesn't always seem natural. It's like, are you really mad about a drop of champagne on your shirt? But she's willing, the length she's willing to go to get camera time, I appreciate and I applaud her.
Yeah, she knows the exact type of player that she's supposed to be on these shows. She's supposed to be like the troublemaker, instigator, and she plays her role just perfectly. And that's why she's just a perfect reality show contestant, because she just knows how to create drama and create entertainment, and that's what she does. And she can even do it if someone spills a little champagne on her or someone does something to her, wherever, she knows how to create drama, and we benefit.
Oh, you know what we didn't get into? Now we're like covering on these little spats. Kayla's all of a sudden decides that if it's not your wedding, anyone can just cut the cake. And then she, like, waves the cake knife at Ethan, saying she'd kill him. Just kidding. You're going to be a father.
Yeah, she's got one of those faces where, like, in a horror movie, like, you know, you got, like, that close-up and, like, an evil smile. Like, she has, like, one of those faces that would be perfect for that. Where it's, like, a little evil smile with, like, blood dripping down her mouth. Like, she's just, like, the face of crazy.
It's just everything has to be about her all the time. And it's really exhausting. Like...
I don't even remember Ethan doing that much to her to turn. Like, wasn't the house already against Kayla at the time, and then Ethan just kind of just, like, gave further proof that she's crazy?
No, Kayla turned the house on herself when Kayla unnecessarily went up to Amber when Ethan and Amber were more established and was like, I just want to let you know, like, he kissed me. Like, yeah. He tried to kiss me. He was hitting on me. Like, yeah, Amber was making out with Adam. Like, it's
which
fine.
Is obviously retaliation for threatening to murder him with a knife at his baby shower. I mean, come on, Allie, be fair.
Right, so, I mean, Kayla's warped mind, I guess, had to get her through the backlash that she got after the show in any way she could, so good luck to you.
Wish you the best in life, but please don't come on my TV anymore.
I'm, like, looking forward to the challenge to seeing if Ryan and Brittany are together.
For later on?
Yeah, like now. Like, so basically, Brittany and Ryan have this weird moment where they're like, we're friends, but we'll see what happens. I want to meet your parents and see who raised you.
Yeah, so when he said he's going out to Boston with her, he just meant like for a weekend, right? Like, didn't just decide to move to Boston, right?
I mean, from what I know, he got kicked out of his apartment in Virginia. From his ex-boyfriend.
And what's weirder, that Ryan wants to meet her parents or that her parents want to meet him?
Maybe they belong together.
They're both, I mean, they're all crazy, but they're like the special kind of crazy. So, I mean, with the whole journal poem thing, I mean, I see it because I'm crazy. I tried pausing it on the book to see the actual words are in there. And to me, the pages kind of look blank. But I guess that probably could just be the angle.
Well, when he opened it, it looked blank to me, too. That, like, when he... I didn't even pause it, but when he opened it up, I thought he was going to be like, ah, just kidding, guys. I didn't write anything. Because it looked blank, and I was like, yeah. Oh, okay, a little redemption for him.
No. But I'll say this. If he was doing that off the fly, that's kind of impressive. But if he actually took the time and wrote that, then that's a little sad. So, you got two ways of the coin there, Ryan. Hope you kind of came up with that on the spot.
The amount of things that Ryan did and said that made me want to throw up were, like, numerous.
Now, is he from Colorado? Because he seemed really excited that the conception happened in Colorado.
He's definitely could be from Colorado.
It was really weird that he was like, Mile High, baby. I'm like, oh, wait, is he from Colorado? I don't remember that.
There was something I was, like, so obsessed, a point where I was, like, so obsessed with this show that I was literally looking at their Instagrams afterwards to see if they were still together because I was just so, like, I don't know, enthralled. Mm-hmm. And I know that there were, like, a ton of outdoorsy pictures from him, so I think he might live in some, like, I mean, Colorado to me makes sense.
Yeah.
I'll look into it.
All right, we'll get back to you.
But apparently he's now just living with, like, whoever will have him in whatever state that is.
He's like, he's a nomad. He's bouncing around from guy, then girl, then maybe he'll go with another girl, then he'll be living with two guys. So, go shout out to Ryan. Live your life.
I love that. I feel like that's how every single one of our, like, criticisms wraps up, is just like, you know what? YOLO. Whatever.
Yo, there you go.
Good luck to you.
So, that leads to Christy and Chanley, the elephants in the room, and have their little powwow.
The chillers.
The chiller and the stressor. Now
you lay this out.
All right. So I actually had to rewind this part about five times because I couldn't believe this was true. Did he actually start this conversation with for real dog? Or did he say for real though? Because I really think he said for real dog.
He definitely said dog numerous times.
Because he kept calling her dude and man in like a serious conversation, like with your ex, like I cannot imagine ever doing that.
I mean, I don't want to make any accusations, but I really felt like he was super, super high this 100%. Entire time.
I think, the second he got there, he was stoned out of his mind.
Like,
I'm not willing to believe otherwise.
he was like looking all over the place, like, dude, man, like he was not there. So I don't really know any like excuse for calling her dog and dude and chiller, except for the fact that he's clearly heartbroken and abusing drugs.
Yeah. Now, what do you think? Were you following them during this whole thing? I don't know what tweets and stuff Shanley was talking about with him degrading her. Do you know, have any idea what those were about?
No. So I wanted to go look at it, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going back 5 months from when this was filmed. So like 7 months.
Yeah, and that's a lot of scrolling tweets.
I mean, she said one thing that just like he said that she has a reputation and disgusts her. So I guess he was just like going off about, I mean, shit about her. And yeah. It's so ridiculous. Like, doesn't he have friends to talk to?
Yeah, and even just like as a larger point for this entire show, I know this is like a weird pivot, but the fact that they want to try to make it seem like Amber and Ethan want to spend this great occasion with their close friends, and it's these people, just once again shows how kind of contrived this whole thing is. But I'm sorry, that was a really weird tangent. All right.
No, yeah, it was important.
It was very, very important stuff. But yeah, I don't, like, the whole thing kind of felt weird. And I was like, I've always, was always a big Shanley fan, still a big Shanley fan, but I was never that big of a Chris fan even during his season. He always felt kind of like it's really just being like obsessive.
Like possessive. A caveman? Yeah. Well, he's so caveman to me.
A little caveman. Like, he just, was never like my type of guy that I would ever probably be friends with, so to see him go even further down whatever hole he's going down, I'm not like that surprised, but
he's no Brandon to you.
No, he Brandon. He is no Brandon. Brandon Tindall, shout out to season two.
No, so I mean, it was super awkward watching, and I love how now like Simone of all people is Shanley's best friend and is like encouraging her to do the right thing and talk to him, and then amazingly, when she approaches Chris, she's like, so I liked Shanley. I thought she was so cool on season one, but she approaches him, and I don't blame her. Like, I don't know how much of a better job I would have done, but she's like, you won't do it, so I'll do it. We're walking away. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you speak. Like, no, you're not, because then you can proceed to rattle off everything that was a problem.
Yeah, I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know how else that was gonna play out. I don't know if Chris probably would have ever have gone up to Shanley. It didn't seem like he had any intention to, because he was just sitting there chilling. So, but I think she handled it as well as possible. I think after he stopped calling her dude and man, I guess he handled it as well as possible, apologizing. But it seemed like she got over it pretty quick. But I don't from. All the time, I don't think she's over it at all. I think she still actually hates him. But it just seemed like all he had to do was say, I'm sorry. And she was like, all right, let's go get drunk again.
I think it was just like one of those things where if you don't speak for 5 months, you just grow bitter. And like, if you could just have like a 5 minute adult face-to-face conversation, like I wouldn't be surprised that she got closure on it just from that conversation, especially because seeing him again and seeing how messed up he is was like dodged a bullet on that one.
Yeah, I don't think Shanley's regretting the end of the Chris T romance.
I mean, then, no, they hug it out and he says, you're good, man.
Yeah. He has to be like just out of his mind high. Like, otherwise, he's got even bigger problems.
I mean, there's nothing about saying I'm in a good place and I'm chilling that screams I'm not in a good place and I'm not chilling.
No one is actually in a good place. Every time you have to stress something, it means it's not good. Like Brittany saying that she's not into Adam, we keep saying it, it's true. So, whatever. I was just going to try to close out, but yeah, what else do you have?
No, I was going to say, and then they wrap up with how Are You the One changed all of their lives.
I mean, it changed all their lives, because now they have like 35,000 Twitter followers, but I don't think their lives have changed that much, really.
I mean, it was like a hilariously moving moment where they're trying to make like something out of nothing. Like, they all got drunk together and hooked up, and like now it's like, oh, I'm forever changed.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Ethan and Amber, I mean, how are their lives much, I don't think they're that much different at this point, other than maybe they're getting recognize it a couple bars here and there. But I mean, if they want to think it's that much great, then, you know, let them. I have nothing against them, but I mean, I don't think it's not like a life-changing event, I don't think.
And then Ryan makes the worst comment of all of his comments, so what a way to go out. It's not some fairy tale story. It's a happy ending.
That's exactly what a fair tear is there, Ryan.
Thank you.
I think it literally the definition of fairy tale, it says a story that has a happy ending.
And they lived happily ever after. Yeah. Vomit so. Everywhere. Ryan.
But I'll say this, I'm actually surprised that this show did create like a legitimate engagement, kid, marriage. Like that's more than all these other dating shows have ever done. Now hopefully it lasts. I hope in 2 years we don't see them on like couples therapy or something like that, but I mean,
I can't wait to see them on couples therapy. Are you kidding me?
That would be a little sad.
No, I just think like they're so right now they have a 10% success rate. Are You the One? That's higher than most reality show. I mean, it's not higher than Dating Naked. I think Dating Naked has like a really high success rate.
Something that goes to show where we are as society. You can go on The Bachelor, you can go on Are You the One, or you can just show up to someplace naked and you'll have a better chance of finding love there.
And they only you only have to do one episode there. They don't you don't even have to commit.
Yeah, it's just one and done.
I have to ask you, there was a notable commercial that maybe you fast-forwarded through, I'm not sure, of like the match machine where you can get matched with someone from season two.
Yes, I did do it.
Oh, I knew you would do it. I should text him, but I'm just gonna ask him on while we're recording.
I did it today, and I can tell you what I can tell you exactly what their thought process or their great scheming or manipulation is. It's definitely whoever it is that's closest to you, because I got matched with Jess, who lives in New York. So,
well, is there a guy from New York? I got matched with someone from Rhode Island. Is that the closest to Jersey?
I think so. I don't remember a lot of their.
Well, I'm gonna look into it now.
I'm gonna guess so, though.
I got matched with Dario.
Oh, okay. Shout out to Dario.
And then I love how it's like when it tells you, it's like. So it also matches you with one of your friends on Facebook and, like, tells you, like, some, like, pre-written answer why. But when you get matched with the season two person, it's like, your match is Dario, one half of a pair of fraternal twins. It just launches into the three-sentence bio already provided.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
That gives you information.
Oh, those interns really put in the hard hours.
I just loved this. I was like, the second I saw that commercial, I was like, all right, I'm doing this. It's hilarious.
Yeah. No, of course I did. Of course I watched all the 30-second cast interviews they put up there just to, like, see some of them. And it was actually really weird to hear some of their voices and, like, seeing them as, like, people before the show. And the biggest drastic one for me was hearing, like, Ellie, like, her very, very strong accent. I did not, like, I knew she was from, like, South Carolina, Georgia, or whatever, but I didn't realize that was, like, a drastic accent.
I actually shot Brian a quick text that was like, have you heard Ellie speak?
Yeah. It was surprising. Like, I'm sure she can complain about my New York accent. I'm sure I have one. But it was just very shocking to hear it.
Well, now I just, like, everything that she said in her bio and her interview, whatever, is, like, 10 times, like, her Twitter handle and whatever, her Twitter bio, like, it's just 300 times funnier when you think of it in, like, a deep, thick Southern accent.
Yeah, she loves getting lit on the balcony.
But you gotta say it in a Southern accent. Let's hear your Southern accent.
Oh, this is gonna be a disaster. Yeah. She likes getting hit on a balcony.
Okay. That sounded nothing like her.
I wasn't trying Ellie, to sound my like apologies. Her. I was trying to sound like me in the South. I'm not good at impressions. I'm not like Rob. I can't do Penner and Tony like that off the spot. I'm really bad at impressions.
All right, that's a goal. My prediction for this season is that you improve on our last wrap-up podcast. Your Southern accent will be improved.
I will work on my Ellie. By the end of the season, I will try to do a new Ellie. And
lock it in.
It will most likely be even worse. I will attempt to do better.
All right, we're locking that in.
Lock it in. Final answer. So, I don't know if you saw this last night, but there's actually a little Twitter beef that started happening between the two casts. Did you see this?
Yes. No, I didn't see this. Let's.
It was between Simone and Paris, because the season two cast was the season one cast was obviously enjoying their 15 minutes in the fame again and live tweeting it all, and the season two cast was enjoying seeing themselves pop up at commercials. So they were tweeting to the cast and. Paris tweeted something to Simone just saying, like, oh, you guys are great. I can't wait for the season or whatever. And Simone's like, I'm not going to give a shout out to these season two lowlifes with like 300 followers.
Oh my God.
So that was fun.
I'm looking now at just like now Paris has retweeted like fans being like, "You kill me in person and on Twitter. Don't fight with has-beens, baby." Retweet.
It's hysterical when like reality stars like use their amount of followers as like, "You suck. You only have this many. I have this many." Meanwhile, like, you were on TV for 3 months. Obviously, people are gonna know who you are, as opposed to this person who hasn't even started to be on television yet.
Ugh. Oh my god, this is amazing. I'm sorry, I'm catching up on this.
No, go ahead. It's fantastic. Everyone else, go look up Simone's tweet and then Paris's. It took over the Twitter webs last night.
Paris, thank god Simone and I weren't in the same house. Hair would have flown at MTV at Are You the One?
Yep. And then Simone's like, I'm not going to give any attention to this like season 2 basic girl and her 300 followers.
Called her basic? Oh shit.
Yeah.
It's on.
Yeah. Apparently that's like the new thing to call a girl, and it's like the biggest insult ever. Is that like the thing?
What do you mean apparently?
I don't know. I'm not
insulting. Are you the apparently kid?
I'm not insulting apparently? Girls that much.
Apparently basic is a thing. Apparently this is my first time on live television.
Oh Lord.
That's my impression.
That's your impression of me?
Have you seen the apparently kid?
No, I've not seen it. What is
oh,
this?
Oh, my God. Okay, everyone needs to check.
I'm not hip. Chatting.
This
I'm
has
not
nothing hip. To do with anything. You're basic. But it's like this 5-year-old kid who's on a news report about some like county fair ride, and he just grabs the microphone, and he's like, "Apparently, this is my first time on live television. Apparently." And so anyway, check it out. Everyone check it out. That's my plug for the apparently kid.
So you offer plugs to the apparently kid, but you get mad at me when I try to plug our own show. Good to see where the priorities lie.
Oh man. Alright, give the people what they want. Plug away.
Alright, so I think we actually have this all settled now, so you can subscribe to our podcast at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. It's still a challenge because after all, this all feeds into the challenge, which is the Mecca. So it's still Challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at BusDriversRoute. They can follow you at
LashTweets. I like how you saved it. Like, it's still Challenge because it all feeds into the challenge. This casting decision they made really helped you weave this thread.
Not gonna lie, this is one of the biggest reasons why I'm still watching the show. It's a great show, but there was no way I was ever gonna leave watching Are You the One, knowing that they're gonna start feeding it into the challenge. That's my excuse I tell myself when I continue watching The Real World, that I still watch only because it's like the minor leagues or the college for the challenge, but we'll get into that eventually when Real World starts. But so that's that. You can leave us comments on our Facebook page. Once the season starts, we'll ask for your questions, just like that. I probably should have done that for this, but I just totally blanked because, I don't know, I'm rusty. It's a new season. Don't yell at me. But
all the questions would have just been, what?
Yeah, I mean, I think we pretty much covered everything, so, but during the season, we'll ask for your questions, leave us comments on robhaswebsite.com, send us all your tweets, and we'll try to incorporate all your stuff into the show as possible, because usually you guys actually ask better questions sometimes than we're going to think of, so give us all that, and hopefully we'll try to talk to some of the cast throughout the season to get even more on that. And we may, for the premiere, we're still sorting this out, be on the main. Rob has a podcast feed, but the boss man may be a little too busy with Survivor and Amazing Race, so we'll see how that goes.
I just want to leave you with one more tweet from Simone.
Give it to me.
Look, Corona/pig/Paris/whatever-you-call-yourself, you are new to this. I am true to this. Do your research and utilize your resources, baby. #catch up.
And with that, that's a fantastic tweet. I think this cast is going to be fantastic. I think they're going to give us a lot of stuff. Again, please don't send us any spoilery stuff. Don't ask us to be watching the previews or ask us our opinions. I'm trying to remain spoiler-free as much as possible, even if it means me sounding like a complete idiot more so than I normally would, just for my pure enjoyment of the show. But other than that, we will see you next week and for the next 10 weeks, probably. That's how long this usually goes, for 10 or 11 weeks. Until then, Allie, guys, have a good one.
Bye.